بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we studied and we went through those things which are an obstacle in the path to seeking knowledge. And we mentioned 10 matters or 10 obstacles in the path to seeking knowledge, and these are called al-mu'awwiqat an talab al-ilm. So to quickly revise, what was the first obstacle? Fisad al-niyyah, for the niyyah to become corrupt. And the second obstacle, tafadhal. حب الشهرة وحب التصدر, for a person to start loving to be in front of people or to learn only for status. That person seeks knowledge because he wants to be known as sheikh or as da'i or to become famous or be in front of the people. And then the third obstacle, not or being lazy in attending the gatherings of knowledge and the circles of knowledge. The fourth obstacle,
too busy to learn, wasting time,
to use excuses that you are too busy in order to learn. The fifth obstacle, whilst you are young, not learning whilst you are young. And this doesn't mean that the one who is older that he doesn't learn. Because Imam al-Bukhari rahimullah, he said, وَقَدْ تَعَلَّمَ أَصْحَابُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي كِبَرِ سِنِّهِمْ, that the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they started learning and they were old in age. So although we say that the prime time to learn is whilst you are young because your mind is fresh, but this doesn't mean that the one who is old, he has an excuse that he does not learn. And Allah said in the Quran, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, worship your Lord up until the certainty of death comes to you. And seeking knowledge is also ibadah. So the obligation to keep learning and keep seeking knowledge remains up until a person dies. The sixth obstacle was? The sixth obstacle? Before that, sixth obstacle. A person saying that I don't have time to seek knowledge because I need to learn about the current affairs and I need to know what's going on politically and economically and financially, so I don't have time to concentrate on hadith and sunnah and so on and so forth. The seventh obstacle is, as the brother mentioned, tazkiyatun nafs. And the meaning of tazkiyatun nafs is a person praising his own self and a person recommending his own self. And this is something which Allah Jalla fil Ula, he has forbidden us from doing. He did not allow us, regardless of how much knowledge or how much taqwa or how much righteousness that a person has, that he should praise himself. And Allah said in the Quran, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Do not praise yourselves. Rather, he is more knowledgeable, he is more knowing of the one who has taqwa. And he said regarding Ahlul Kitab, and he rebuked them, he said, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Have you not seen those people, either Yahud and the Nasara, who praise themselves? بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Rather, it is Allah who praises whoever he wants. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "La tuzakku anfusakum." Do not praise yourselves. Allahu a'lamu bi ahli al-birri minkum, because Allah is more knowing of the people of righteousness amongst you. So it isn't allowed for a person to give tazkiyah, to praise his own self. And then the eighth matter, which is an obstacle in the path to seeking knowledge, is not implementing your knowledge, not acting upon your knowledge. And one of the main objectives behind seeking knowledge is so that you know how to worship Allah, and therefore you worship Allah. So at-tawheed, it isn't merely studying one or two books and knowing that the tawheed is three types or two types and knowing the evidences of tawheed. This isn't tawheed. Tawheed is not just knowing al-rububiyyah wal-uluhiyyah wal-asma wa-sifat. Rather, at-tawheed is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about tawheed, He uses the word ibadah. He doesn't use the word tawheed in of itself. He said, "Wa'budu Allah wa la tushriku bihi shay'a." Worship Allah alone, I tawheed, and do not ascribe partners to Him. We know that tawheed and shirk are the two opposites. And yet when Allah speaks about tawheed, He mentions ibadah. He says, "Wa'budu Allah wa la tushriku bihi shay'a." And Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he mentioned, as Al-Baghawi mentions in his tafsir, that every time Allah mentions ibadah in the Quran, He means by it at-tawheed. When Allah said, "وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ," Ibn Abbas said, "أَيْ يُوَحِّدُونَ." When Allah said, "I did not create jinn, no mankind, except that they should worship me, I accept that they should have my tawheed." So every time in the Quran, as Ibn Abbas said, every time ibadah or ta'budu or ya'budu is mentioned in the Quran, it means yuwahidu and it means at-tawheed. But why did Allah phrase this by saying ibadah? To teach us that tawheed is ibadah. Tawheed means worshipping Allah and doing righteous actions. And for this reason, nobody will enter into Jannah because of his knowledge. Nobody enters into Jannah because of merely knowing things. Nobody enters into Jannah just because he learned and memorized Al-Arba'in Al-Nawawiyyah, and he memorized Al-Bukhari, and he memorized Al-Usul Al-Thalatha. Rather, people only enter into Jannah after the tawfiq of Allah due to their righteous actions, due to their good actions, due to their acts of worship. And the acts of worship are on two levels. There are the wajibat, and then there are the mustahabbat or the nawafil. And the most beloved actions to Allah are the wajibat and the fara'id, the obligations. And after a person has fulfilled the wajibat and the fara'id, the obligations, then Allah has opened doors, various doors of other recommended nawafil actions, that a person can choose and do that which is easy for him and that which suits him. The point is that people will only enter into Jannah after the tawfiq of Allah due to the actions which they did, not merely because of the knowledge. Udkhulul jannata bima kuntum ta'malun. Enter into Jannah because of the ta'malun, because of the amal, the actions which you used to do. Allah Jalla fil Ula, He did not say in this ayah, "Udkhulu al-jannata bima kuntum ta'lamun." Enter into Jannah because of the knowledge which you have, because of that which you know. So therefore, knowledge, it requires righteous actions for this knowledge to be beneficial. And Allah said, "Kabura maqatan 'inda Allah an taqulu ma la taf'alun." How severe a sin it is with Allah that causes His anger that you say that which you do not do and implement. And this is how the companions, they used to memorize the Quran. As Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, "Ma kunna nujawizu 10 ayatin min al-Qur'ani hatta na'lamaha wa na'mala biha." He said, Ibn Mas'ud, that we, the companions, ashabun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we never used to memorize more than 10 ayat in a single sitting or single time, until we learn about them and we act upon them, we do the righteous actions, we implement them, and then we would go on to the next 10 ayat. And then we would learn the knowledge of these 10 ayat, learn the tafsir of these 10 ayat, act upon them, implement them, and then we would go on to the next 10 ayat of the Quran. And then the ninth obstacle in the path to seeking knowledge is that a person, he should not belittle himself. Although we say a person should not praise himself, but at the same time, a person shouldn't belittle himself or his ability. That he says, for example, I'll never be able to become a scholar. My child will never be able to memorize the Quran. Rather, that which is upon the person is to strive and to try hard and organize his time. And the tawfiq is from Allah, that He guides those to become scholars and hufadh of the Quran, whoever He wants to do so. And as we mentioned last lesson, that there's one characteristic which is shared by every single person, whether it is from the greatest of the Imams, like Al-Imam Bukhari wa Muslim and Abu Hanifa and Shafi'i, or even us, the most ignorant of people, there is one characteristic which is shared by everybody. And that characteristic is jahl, ignorance. That every single person, whether he was Al-Imam Bukhari or Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, or whether it is Alan and Fulan today, every single one of them was born jahil. Every single one of them was born ignorant. So every person was born with the same starting point, the point of ignorance. And then after this, the one who was sincere and the one who tried hard and strived and memorized and organized his time, he is the one who became Al-Imam Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Hanif and Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Shafi'i and so on and so forth. And the one who wasn't sincere and didn't pay attention to learning and didn't strive, then he remained as an unknown upon this dunya. He came and he went and he remained a jahil. And Allah said in the Quran, in Surah An-Nahl, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah brought all of you out of the wombs of your mother and you did not know a single thing. But like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, al-ilmu bit-ta'allum, that knowledge comes when you learn and you seek knowledge. And then the tenth matter or the tenth obstacle which we mentioned was at-taswif. And the meaning of at-taswif is sawfa af'al wa sawfa af'al, that I will do in the future and I will do in the future. Meaning that a person having mere hopes and intentions to do something without actually doing it straight away. And as some of the Salaf would say, At-taswif min junoodi Iblis. Taswif is one of the soldiers of Iblis. That when Iblis, when he cannot entice a person to evil, then he tries to make him stop doing righteous actions. First, how Iblis works is he uses various strategies and various steps. So he tries to make a person fall into the major sins. And if he cannot make a person fall into a major sin, then he tries to make a person fall into a minor sin. And if he cannot make a person fall into the minor sins, then he makes a person not do good actions. And when he cannot make a person, when he cannot prevent a person from doing good actions, then the least he does is he delays him doing a righteous action. So Iblis comes to the person and he's lost hope in kufr and shirk. He's lost hope that this person, he will fall into kufr and shirk. And he's lost hope that this person will fall into the major sins and the minor sins. And he's also lost hope that this person, he will not stop doing righteous deeds. What does he do? At the least, he tries to delay the righteous deeds. And the miskeen who has this taswif, he doesn't know that you keep delaying and delaying, and maybe tomorrow the death will come and you will not reach the action which you had hoped for. And Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimullah, he said, Iyaka wa taswif. Be aware and be cautious of delaying things and putting things off. فَإِنَّكَ بِيَوْمِكَ وَلَسْتَ بِغَدِكَ. And you are according to your today, and you are not according to your tomorrow. Because tomorrow you don't know whether you will come. You are only going to be judged by today, the day which you are living. فَإِنْ يَكُنْ غَدًا لَكَ. If, however, you do reach tomorrow, and tomorrow does come, فَكُنْ فِي غَدٍ كَمَا كُنْتَ فِي الْيَوْمِ, then be tomorrow as you are also today. Meaning, the most important day which you should have is only today. As for tomorrow, maybe it will come, and maybe it will not come. And if it does come, and you do reach it, then tomorrow, now that you've reached it, the most important day that you have is today again, i.e. which is now tomorrow. And like this, you take every single day. And even tomorrow, if you reach it, then you apply the same principle that the most important day I have is today. And tomorrow, maybe I will come, maybe it will come, and maybe it will not come. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in order to attach importance to this thing, He called Yawm al-Qiyamah, He called it tomorrow. The word we have, bil-ams, yesterday, we have al-yawm, today, and we have al-ghad, tomorrow. And in the Quran, Allah called al-ghad Yawm al-Qiyamah, to teach a person that maybe you will reach your tomorrow, and maybe you will not reach tomorrow. And tomorrow your Yawm al-Qiyamah will come. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. O people of Iman, have taqwa of Allah, and let each person prepare for tomorrow. The meaning of tomorrow is يوم القيامة, for death. Not that a person delays today and keeps preparing for tomorrow. And we finished with this. And then in the next few minutes in this lesson, we're going to carry on بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَبِتَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ talking about not delaying things. And this is by highlighting the importance of time. I highlighting the importance of these minutes and these seconds and this hour which you are living in. And showing examples of the Salaf and how much of an importance they used to attach to time, that they didn't use to waste their time. And perhaps by doing this, it will inspire us to dedicate more of our time towards beneficial things and before knowledge. And the author, Shaykh Abdul Aziz As-Sadhan Hafidhullah, he mentions a piece of poetry. He says that the poet said, وَالْوَقْتُ أَنْفَسْ مَا عُنِيتَ بِحِفْظِهِ وَأَرَاهُ أَسْهَلَ مَا عَلَيْكَ يَضِيعُ. That time, it is the most precious thing which you can try to guard and preserve. More precious than wealth, more precious than property is time. وَالْوَقْتُ أَنْفَسْ مَا عُنِيتَ بِحِفْظِهِ وَأَرَاهُ أَسْهَلْ مَا عَلَيْكَ يَضِيعُ. And at the same time, it is the easiest thing which a person can lose. So if a person, just for example, yesterday night, if you sat at night yesterday and you thought about the seconds and the minutes and the hours which you lived just yesterday, and then consider from those hours and those minutes which you spent for the Akhirah, and those hours and those minutes and those seconds which you spent in negligence in the dunya, you realize that you have wasted those minutes and wasted those days. Time is so precious that if you have money and you lose money, tomorrow you'll make that money again. Today you had £100 and then you lost £50. Tomorrow you'll make another £100 and that money will come back. But as for time, no. Nobody's able to bring back the seconds and the minutes and the hours that a person has wasted. Now for this reason, despite it being the most precious thing which you have, at the same time, it is the easiest thing that a person can waste and lose. The Salaf, the Imams of Hadith amongst them, when they used to teach Hadith, Obviously, at that time, it was done without microphones. And maybe in their sitting or their gathering, they would have 500 people, 1,000 people, or more people. In fact, As-Sam'ani, rahimahullah, he mentions in his book, Adab al-Imla wal-Istimla, he says, وَقَدْ وَرَدَ أَنَّ مَجْلِسْ مُحَمَّدْ إِبْنِ إِسْمَعِيلِ كَانَ يَحَظُرُهُ 20,000. It has been mentioned that the sitting of Muhammad ibn Ismail, who's Muhammad ibn Ismail? Al-Bukhari. That the sitting and the gathering and the lessons of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimullah, 20,000 people used to attend. 20,000 people, they used to attend the gatherings and the sittings of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimullah, Muhammad ibn Ismail. How did these 20,000 or 10,000 or 5,000 or even 500, how did they used to hear what Al-Imam al-Bukhari used to say in the absence of technology and microphones? And that is that Al-Imam al-Bukhari, for example, he would say, حَدَّثَنَا وَكِيعُ. And then a few rows down, there would be a person who would repeat what the Imam has said. So those behind him could hear. And then a few rows down, somebody would repeat the statement of the repeater, حَدَّثَنَا وَكِيعَ, until so the others could hear. And then a few rows down, it would be repeated again, up until it went to the back of the gathering. And then the roll would come back to the Imam, and he would mention the next narrator or the next sentence or phrase. And this is how hadith and knowledge would be spread, by people repeating the statements of the Imam. As-Sam'ani, he says that whilst this was happening, now the Imam, he has to wait. He cannot say anything else until it is his turn again to say the next statement. He says that what used to happen in this time, لا يصرف شيئا من وقته إلا في الطلب, that the Imam, who is now waiting for his turn to come again, he would not waste his time, except that he himself would now start seeking knowledge. Or a dhikr, or he would make a dhikr of Allah. Or istighfar, or he would make istighfar of Allah. Or tasbihin, or tahleel, or he would say subhanallah, or he would say la ilaha illallah. And this is how the gatherings of knowledge used to be. فَقَدِيمًا كَانَتْ حَلَقَاتُ الْعِلْمِ يَحْضُرُهَا الْجَمْعُ الْغَفِيرُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. So in the olden days, the gatherings of knowledge and the lessons of knowledge, many, many people used to attend. Hundreds, if not thousands. And this was the way of the Salaf and the Imams. That whilst they were waiting for the turn to come back to them, they wouldn't sit there wasting their time or talking. They would either be making a dhikr, or istighfar, or tasbih, or reading, or seeking knowledge, and like this. And some of them said regarding Abdullah ibn al-Imam Ahmad, Abdullah, the son of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they would say, وَاللَّهِ مَا رَأَيْتُهُ إِلَّا مُبْتَسِمًا أَوْ قَارِئًا أَوْ مُطَالِعًا. They would say, وَاللَّهِ مَا رَأَيْتُهُ إِلَّا مُبْتَسِمًا أَوْ قَارِئًا أَوْ مُطَالِعًا. They say, by Allah, I have never seen Abdullah, the son of Al-Imam Ahmad, except he's either smiling, or he's reading, or he is gathering and investigating knowledge. And they said regarding Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi rahimullah, مَا رَأَيْتُ الْخَطِيبَ إِلَّا وَفِي يَدِهِ كِتَابٌ يُطَالِعُهُ. They would say regarding him that I have never seen him except in his hand is a book, and he is looking over this book. So this is how the Salaf and the Imams of Hadith and the Imams of Knowledge, how they used to preserve and protect their time. They never used to allow minutes and hours, even seconds to go by, except that they were in some form of ibadah. Whether it was dhikr or istighfar, or tasbih or tahmid, or it was reading or listening. And the author, he mentions regarding our state today, that this was the state of the muhaddithun and the ulama of the salaf. As for our state, except those whom Allah has mercy upon, then it is as the poet said, تَمُرُّ بِنَ الْأَيَّامُ تَتَرَى وَإِنَّمَا. That days pass by us in succession. Day after day after day after day, they keep passing by and they keep passing by. وإنما أن أز نساق إلى الآجال والعين تنظر. And we are being taken towards our death, our time upon the earth, and yet our eyes keep looking. So the days are passing by us, one after the other in succession. And we are being taken towards our ajal, our time, our death upon this earth, and yet our eyes keep looking. فَلَا عَائِدٌ ذَاكَ الشَّبَابُ الَّذِي مَضَى. This youth, which has passed by you, it will never come back. وَلَا زَائِلٌ هَذَا الْمَشِيبُ الْمُكَدِّرُ. And neither this old age which you are living in, neither will it remain forever. So the days are passing by you, in succession, day after day after day, and you are approaching your akhirah, you are approaching your time, and yet your eyes, it keeps wandering and looking and having these ambitions. And yet you don't know that the days which you have spent in your youth, they will never return. And the old age which you are living now, it will neither remain. And Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimullah, he said, يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَيَّامٍ. O Ibn Adam, O son of Adam, you are merely days. This is what you are. Your life, it is only days. فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ يَوْمُكَ ذَهَبَ بَعْضُكَ. So if one of your days has gone, a part of your body has also gone. A part of your life has also gone. Imagine, for example, your body, it is made up of days. And every time a day goes by, a part of your body, it goes. And it will never remain. So for example, let's say if your fingers and your hands and your arms, which makes up your body, this was time. Yesterday went, so your small finger has gone. Today is going, so your next finger is going. Tomorrow, if it comes and it goes, your middle finger will go. And like this, every single day which passes by you, a small part of your body, it is dying and it is leaving. And this is you. This is a human being. So make sure every single day that you live, that you use it and invest it in the Akhirah. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimullah, he said, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ يَنْشَقُّ فَجْرُهُ إِلَّا وَيُنَادِي. There's no day in which the dawn breaks, the morning comes, except that this day it calls out. And it says, يَبْنَ آدَمْ. O son of Adam, أَنَا خَلْقٌ جَدِيدٌ. This day I am a new creation. Yesterday it has gone by. And tomorrow maybe it will come or it will not come. But this morning, this day which is starting, أَنَا خَلْقٌ جَدِيدٌ. I am now a new creation. وَعَلَىٰ عَمَلِكَ شَهِيدٌ. And I will be a witness on your actions. فَتَزَوَّدْ مِنِّي. So take provisions from me. In this day in which you are living, take your provisions for the Akhirah. فَإِنِّي إِذَا مَضِيتُ لَا أَعُودَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And if I pass today, if I pass by you, I will not come again until Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the days will tell us of that which we did on those days and in those hours. And therefore, my brothers and sisters, from the beneficial actions that a person can do, if not every day, but now and again, is to sit at night, if only for a few minutes, and make muhasabah of himself. Hold himself to accountable. That today, in these 24 hours, what part of these 24 hours have I given to the Akhirah? And you should know that Islam, it doesn't request from you and it doesn't want from you that you give all of your day towards the Akhirah. Islam does not require that every single hour we spend in ibadah. Islam does not forbid us from enjoying the tayyibat which Allah has created. Islam does not forbid us from enjoying that which is halal and spending our wealth in that which is halal. And this is not the meaning of az-zuhud. But what Islam requires and what Allah requires from us is that some of our time we give towards the Akhirah. And for this reason, from the first ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah, He described who are the people of taqwa. He said, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They are those who have iman in the ghaib. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ And they establish the prayer. And then he said, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ He said, and from that which we have provided for them, they give in charity. This min here, mimma, it is called min at-tab'idhiyya, ay ba'd. That Allah is saying that from min ba'd ma razaqnahum yunfiqun, from some of what we have given them, they give towards Allah and they give towards Islam. Allah did not say in this ayah, wa ma razaqnahum yunfiqun, that what we have provided for them, they give in the way of Allah. He said, from some of that which we have given them, they give in the way of Allah. So Islam does not require from us that we have to give all our wealth for the sake of Islam and in charity. Rather, from our wealth is that which we use for our rizq. From our wealth is that which we enjoy in halal for us and our children. And from our wealth is a portion that we give towards the akhirah. And remember the hadith of those three people who came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of them said, "Ana asum wala aftir." He said, "I am going to fast every single day, and I am never going to live a day in which I am not fasting." And the other one said, "Aqumu layl wala anam." I am going to spend all night, every night in prayer, and I am not going to sleep. And the third one said, "La atazawwaju nisa." I am not going to marry women, meaning I am going to live like a monk and devote myself in the worship of Allah. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard the statement of these three men, he became angry. And he said, Asumu wa aftir. As for me, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I fast on certain days, and on certain days I don't fast. Wa aqum wa anam. And I pray some of the night, and I sleep some of the night. Wa atazawwaju nisa. And I also marry women. And then he said, and this is a principle, وَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي Whoever exceeds my sunnah, whoever turns away from my sunnah, then he is not from me. So this is what Islam requires, that a person, every night, every now and again, holds himself to account, al-muhasaba, and he thinks that today, what I have I given towards the akhirah? And time, it is three types. There are three types of time. وَقْتٌ مَضَى عَنْكَ فَلَنْ يَعُودْ Time which has passed you and it will never come back. I yesterday. وَوَقْتٌ أَنْتَ فِيهِ فَانْضُرْ كَيْفَ يَخْرُجُ عَنْكَ And the time in which you are in right now, so analyze how it is passing by you. وَوَقْتٌ أَنْتَ مُنْتَظِرُهُ وَقَدْ لَا تَبْلُغْ إِلَيْهِ And the time which you are waiting for, and maybe you will never reach it. So the times are three. Yesterday which has gone, and it will never return, up until يوم القيامة, as a witness for you or a witness against you. And the time in which you are living in right now, so look how this time is passing by you. And whether on يوم القيامة, it will be for you or against you. And a time that you hope will come, and maybe you will reach this time, or you will not reach this time. And therefore, there are certain times throughout the day that people waste, all of us waste, and we don't realize that we are wasting these times. And specifically, two or three times throughout the day. The first time that we waste is in ziyarah of our friends and family. And when it comes to the time that a person spends in ziyarah, then there are two extremes and then there is a middle. So there is one extreme who thinks that there should be no ziyarah. I want to devote my time in the way of Allah, so I'm not going to visit anybody or visit family or visit friends, visit brothers and sisters, because I am Talibul Ilm. And this is an extreme. And then there is another extreme, which most of us perhaps we fall into, and that is the extreme of spending hours upon hours with friends and colleagues and relatives and just wasting time. And then there is those who are in the middle. And those who are in the middle, they know that when it comes to spending time with your family, spending time with your friends, spending time with your brothers, that this is an avenue in which it increases love and affection and relationships between the people. And also that there is a delight and a happiness that a person finds in this dunya when he visits his family and his relatives and his friends and his brothers. But those people who do this, let's say for example, every day they are spending an hour, just an hour with their friends or visiting their colleagues or their acquaintances. And maybe most people are spending 2 or 3 hours, and some people will spend most of the night sitting with their friends and talking to their friends. But let's say we have a person who spends only 1 hour a day with his friends. And that means in the week, he has spent 7 hours in the week with his friends. The Shaykh Hafidhullah says, let's say if we said to this person that instead of spending 7 hours with your friends, spend half of that with your friends and only a half of that on a weekly basis in seeking knowledge and reading. So from those 7 hours, keep 3.5 hours, keep 4 hours with your friends. Just spend the other remaining 3 hours in seeking knowledge and learning. If a person spent 3 hours a week of reading and concentrating and learning and taking notes, he would find that he has come out with so much benefit. And if you said to a person today, sit 3 hours in seeking knowledge, he says, wallahi, if only I had the time. And maybe this person is spending 7 hours, 10 hours, 14 hours with his friends. And we don't say to this person, don't spend time with your friend or family. Socialize and enjoy with them. But cut that in half and spend the rest in seeking knowledge, and how much goodness would come out of that person. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, he said in his book Al-Fawaid that gatherings are of two types. Gatherings are gatherings with friends and gatherings with acquaintances and brothers. They are two types. The first type is natural socializing. Every single human, as a human, he wants to socialize with people. And some of the ulama mentioned that insan, he was called insan because he is in need of mu'anasa. He's in need of some level of socializing and interacting with people. Another ulama mentioned that insan was called insan likathratin nisyan, because he is forgetful. Ala kulli hal, Ibn al-Qayyim says that gatherings and sittings with friends and brothers is two types. The first one is that which is natural, that a person has a need to socialize and to interact and to be with people. And he occupies his time in this. He said this type of gathering, in most cases, the harm, it outweighs any goodness. And the least that can be said with mere socializing it is that it wastes the time and it hardens the heart. Just merely socializing for the sake of socializing, the least that can be said about it is that it wastes time and it hardens a person's heart. And then the second type of gathering or socializing is for friends, colleagues, acquaintances, brothers to come together in order to cooperate upon al-birr wa taqwa, in order to advise each other and encourage each other with dhikr and with the truth and with patience. And he says that this type of socializing, and it is also socializing, min a'zamil ghanima wa anfa'iha, it is from the greatest types of treasures that a person can gain, and also from the most beneficial. However, even this type of socializing in which people come together for the sake of Allah in order to revise and study and make some dhikr, meaning in their gathering they are talking about the dunya and they are asking about each other dunya, but some of it is regarding Allah and dhikr and reminding each other. Even in this gathering, there are three possible pitfalls that a person should avoid. The first is that تَزَيُّنُ بَعْضِهِمْ لِبَعْضِ, that they begin to beautify themselves for each other. Meaning that this type of gathering, they start wearing the best clothes And then they start wasting time in preparing for this gathering. And this, of course, doesn't mean that a person who comes to this gathering in torn clothes or old clothes, this isn't the intention. But when people start exaggerating in preparing themselves in terms of what they are wearing and perfume and getting ready for this gathering, such that you have actually ended up wasting time. And the second pitfall is that during these gatherings, you start exceeding the limits of speaking and mixing and socializing. And then the third pitfall is that this gathering, it then becomes a social gathering and it just becomes a routine or a ritual, and therefore you forget the objective. So as long as a person, if he has this socializing, and in his social circles there is some dhikr and there is some tawheed and there is some knowledge, and these are the best gatherings, and then he avoids these pitfalls, then this is something which is beneficial for the person. The second matter is using, making benefit of time in which you can listen to audio and listen to lessons and lectures which are on CDs or MP3 and so on and so forth. And if you remember, I mentioned previously that the ulama of old, they used to say, Al-ilm yu'ta wa la ya'ti. That knowledge, you have to approach it and it doesn't come to you. In the olden days, this is how knowledge occurred. That a person had to travel to knowledge and go out to knowledge, and knowledge would not come to a person. Today it is the opposite. That with the existence of technology and with the existence of communication, we can say al-ilmu ya'ti wa la yu'ta. That today knowledge comes to us and no longer do we need to go to it. Even though it is vital that a person goes and seeks knowledge from the scholars, but technology, and this is a blessing of Allah, it is an avenue to which knowledge can come to us. And therefore the successful person is the one who uses this technology to his benefit and not to his harm. So think, for example, how much time you spend in the car. In the car, if you drop your children off in the morning, there's 15 minutes gone. And then on the way back to your house, there's another 15 minutes. And then you pick them up in the evening, there's another 15 minutes. And then you go back to your house, there's another 15 minutes. Already you have an hour. And then somebody might drive to work, and there's 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And perhaps a person, for example, his job is driving a taxi, and there's maybe a third or a half of the day. And all of that time could be used in seeking knowledge, in listening to audio and MP3s and CDs and the other types of knowledge. So if, just let's say, just the half an hour in the day in which you drop your child off in the morning and when you come back, even if we said that when you're dropping your child off, you're talking to your child, so let's leave that time. But when you're returning from school to home and there's nobody in the car, there's only you, there's 15 minutes there. And also when you go to pick up your children, when you go from home to school, there's nobody in the car, there's another 15 minutes. And okay, on the way back, there's children and you have to talk to them. So let's say just that half an hour. If every single day a person spent just the half an hour in his car in listening to beneficial audio, then that's 3 to 4 hours in a week of beneficial knowledge that a person has gained. And if a person was to structure himself, that he stops his CD and then he starts it from the same place and like this, and he went, how much audio, how many lessons would a person be able to go through? Maybe even a student of knowledge who has freed himself for seeking knowledge, he will not find this type of time. So these technologies and these avenues, we shouldn't waste them. And the least that a person can do is whilst you are sitting in your car, even if you just recited Surah Al-Fatiha again and again and again and again. What do you lose by just reciting Surah Al-Fatiha? Or Al-Istighfar? Or saying Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram? Or by saying Astaghfirullah, or anything which you do not know. The least benefit is that your mind is not elsewhere. And then there's so many other benefits, from the heart-finding tranquility, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, because Allah said, verily it is with the dhikr of Allah that the hearts find tranquility. And forgiveness in the hereafter, and so many other benefits. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah mentions that I have been informed regarding a young boy who memorized all of the Quran by merely listening to the recitation of Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi rahimullah, one of the great reciters in Egypt. Just by listening to his cassettes over and over and over again over 2 years, he was able to memorize all of the Quran in 2 years. Didn't have a teacher, wasn't reading from the Quran, just by listening, but organizing his time and being disciplined, and he was able to memorize the Quran. And then the third and the last matter, and we end with this, is another time which is often wasted, and that is the time between the adhan and the iqama. Those 15 minutes between the adhan and the iqama, if we were to use those 15 or those 10 minutes, if we said, for example, okay, the Maghrib prayer, there's only a few minutes, so leave that out. There's four times in the day: Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha. And the time between the Adhan and the Iqam of these prayers, if it's, let's say, 15 minutes, then you have 4 times 15 minutes in the day, you have an hour. And if a person used those 15 minutes, in which you're not really doing anything, you're sitting, you're looking at your mobile phone, you're talking to your colleague, and yet you're in the masjid, and you are excused if you want to be alone. It wouldn't be rude if you wanted to sit alone. Just those 15 minutes, 4 times a day, if you spent in reading a book, or revising a Quran, or memorizing a hadith, then how much would a person benefit in that time? And the ulama of Najd, i.e. Ibn Baz rahimullah, and those scholars came before him, wallahu a'lam, up until our time, but certainly Ibn Baz, it is famous regarding him and his teachers, they would have 2 lessons in a day. Without fail, they always had 2 lessons a day. One lesson was after Asr. This was their regular lesson. After Asr, they would have the main lesson, which lasted an hour or 40 minutes. And then they would also have a lesson between the Adhan and the Iqama of the Isha prayer. And this was their regular lesson, which they never stopped. And one of the closest students to Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah, he's our Shaykh, Shaykh Badr Al-Utaybi Hafidhullah. And he narrated to me, he said to me himself, he said that I finished studying with Shaykh Ibn Baz just between the Adhan and the Iqama, Usul al-Thalatha, wa Kitab al-Tawheed a number of times, wa Bulugh al-Maram a number of times. And then he said, and then we went on to Al-Muntaqa, but Qadr Allah, we did not finish, and Riyadh al-Saliheen. All of these books he finished just between spending 10 to 15 minutes with reading with him between the Adhan and the Iqama. Some of the Rasail of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, and Kitab al-Tawheed, and Bulugh al-Maram, and Riyadh al-Saliheen, and then started Al-Muntaqa, but did not finish that Qadr Allah wa rahimahullah. So imagine how much benefit that person could take just from those 10 to 15 minutes, 3 or 4 times a day. And this is also another time which is wasted. So in ending, my brothers, this lesson, what it shows us today is that nobody has an excuse that I do not have time to seek knowledge. Everybody in the week can easily find minimum 3 to 4 hours, if it is in his car with the cassettes and the audios, or it is between the Adhan and the Iqama, and then other times throughout the day. And these other times, a person knows himself the best. So we don't say, for example, the way of the Salaf is that a person must read after Fajr, or after Dhuhr, or before this time or at this time. Rather, every person is Amiru Nafsihi. Every person knows himself the best. Some people, they find it easy to spend an hour after Fajr. Other people find it easy to spend an hour before sleep, or whilst the children are away at work, and so on and so forth. And this is separate to the other times which are wasted, which we have mentioned. So attach importance to these times. Barakallahu feekum. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.